And so it really all starts with, you know, with the relationships we have with our clients. It's that relationship is so important because you're talking about a significant amount of trust. This significant event happens, you know, this fire or flood, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a potential exposure to the carrier of, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, possibly millions of dollars, depending on the size of the exposure.
You are listening to And I Quote, a podcast focused on building relationships with insurance agents, brokers, their small business clients, and industry leaders. This podcast is presented by Coda Reinsurance.
With your hosts, Brian Thomas, Director of Claims Experience, and Ann Boger, VP of Scaling, we will be exploring the power that connection, communication, and commitment can have on your business. Join us every Thursday for a new episode and topic that will provide key insights to help build your business, agency, and client relationships. And I quote.
So here we are, another episode of And I Quote. Today we have a special guest, David Briscoe, who is a member of Cozens Connors Subrogation Recovery Department, where he has practiced since 2005. Ranked among the top 100 law firms in the country. David also hosts a podcast called Subro on the Go with his co-host Joe Rich that is brought to you by Cozen O'Connor. Welcome to And I Quote Podcast, David. We are excited to have you here at AIQ. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate your time. Appreciate you having me on.
No worries. No worries at all. As always, the podcast And I Quote AIQ is brought to you by Coda Reinsurance. My name is Brian Thomas, the Director of Claims Experience here at Coda Re. But enough about me. We're here to talk about David. David, can you do me a favor, my friend? Can you introduce yourself? I know I gave a little bit of a background. If I missed on anything, please.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to. I mean, I will give you one fair warning, which, you know, now that you're putting an attorney on the podcast, we tend to dominate the mic. We tend to talk too long. So don't, you got to be aggressive with us. Don't hesitate to say, okay, that's enough. You're putting people to sleep here. But for briefly from my background, I've been doing this. I've been a subrogation attorney for 17 years at Cozen O'Connor San Diego office. As you said, we're a full service law firm, you know, giant, almost 800 attorneys across the U.S., but we have a subrogation department of about 100 attorneys across the country. And I'm part of a group in California that litigates large loss property subrogation claims in California. I like to say we're 24/7 subro, meaning we're not, you know, when we're not litigating a subro case, we, you know, we have a subro blog, we have subro webinars, we even have a subro podcast that you're plugging. I appreciate that. So we eat and breathe this stuff. We love it. We love what we do. So that's a little bit about me.
All right. So, I mean, you know, people are probably thinking, like, how in the world did this fantastic counselor get in touch with me, right? So very interesting. I was working on a claim, and my boss said, reach out to Cozens and Connors see if they can help us out with the subrogation claim. That's when I spoke with David Briscoe for the first time, and we were kind of nerding out on insurance stuff just because that's just how we are. And I found out that he had a podcast, and I was like, I need to get this guy on AIQ. He needs to get on AIQ. But talk to me a little bit, David, about kind of like, is this how those relationships start, right? So, you know, I reached out to you and we kind of spoke about it. But is this how relationships start when you have a partnership or a partnership with an insurance company?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the relationships can start by a few ways. Some of them are just like yours and mine start, right? Where, okay, somebody needs an attorney. That's how most people meet somebody, right? They need an attorney for a case. And so they reach out and if we do a good job, then that relationship grows from there. And that's a common way, right? The other way is, I mean, we present, you know, I present at, we actually have a nerdy subro conference, right? I call it nerdy because it's always great when, you know, you love what you do and you find, you know, thousands of other people that love what they do. So there's a yearly subrogation conference through an organization called NASP, National Association of Subrogation Professionals. So I'll speak at that, and it's a chance for us to kind of nerd out with our fellow, you know, subro nerds and subro specialists. There's other insurance conferences. I'm going to San Antonio in 2 weeks to speak at PLRB for their annual insurance conference. So I think, you know, the conferences are a great way to get together and meet people who are, you know, like-minded in terms of working the same style cases and in need of each other's help on these cases. So it's either usually through the conferences, through the podcast, through our webinars, or through, as you and I fortunately were able to meet, through a new case assignment.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, David, for some folks who may not know the nerd term that is subrogation, I do, but for some folks that don't, please explain to us what subrogation is and how it kind of falls into our theme of relationships mattering.
The basic concept, though, in insurance is that it's the principle where an insurance carrier pays out on a claim. So there's a fire or flood at someone's home, and an insurance carrier will pay a couple hundred thousand dollars, say, to repair the home and the contents that are damaged and alternative living expenses. And so that carrier has the right, via principle of subrogation, to stand in the shoes of the property owner, of their insured, and go pursue whoever's responsible, whatever third party is responsible for causing that fire or flood that the carrier paid out on. So we're often pursuing a product manufacturer for a defective product that causes a fire or flood to a home, or a contractor who did negligent work, which caused a fire or flood to the home. So that's some of your common things. But the concept of subrogation is you are investigating, you're standing in the shoes of the insured. You have the same rights and as the insured has, or the defenses that can be alleged at the insured. I went away from that long explanation at the dinner parties, and I just started saying it's kind of like CSI, where, you know, the TV show where we're investigating, a catastrophic event where you go in, hire investigators, and help to determine what caused a fire flood and pursue the responsible parties.
Sounds good. Hey, listen, if they ever make a movie or a TV show, you know, I could have Ted Danson play you. You're a handsome devil. I could have a Ted Danson do that for you. That's not a problem.
I would love that.
Okay. So you have these partnerships or relationships with these insurance companies. Kind of walk me through like how they start and how you kind of nurture them as they kind of progress.
Sure. And this entire industry has been fascinating. It's grown so much over, really significantly over the last 20 plus years. It's been around much longer than that, but the growth has been tremendous over the last few decades, and where this is a large source of revenue for the insurance industry of getting, money back that they're paying out and holding responsible parties accountable. And so it really all starts with, with the relationships we have with our clients. It's that relationship is so important because you're talking about a significant amount of trust. This significant event happens, this fire or flood, and all of a sudden, there's a potential exposure to the carrier of, hundreds of thousands of dollars, possibly millions of dollars, depending on the size of the exposure. And they need to know that they're giving us this case because, subros made or broke will often say in the first 48 hours of a loss, the early investigation is so critical because that evidence has a tendency to have legs and walk away. Origin areas are not preserved or destroyed. And so getting on these cases quickly and having that communication with our clients to convey the importance of getting us involved so quickly is critical to what we do, because we have to make sure that we're documenting a scene and properly investigating a scene from the get-go before it's too late.
Totally spot on. And speaking of it from the insurance carrier's perspective, I mean, we appreciate the legwork that is done by a subrogation vendor like yourself, because it speaks to our bottom line, right? So if we pay out a claim that's $100,000, we are in a $100,000 hole, right? And we know that there is an entity out there that is a responsible party. And your team over at Cozens and Connors is able to really go out there, get that money back, help put that money back in our policies, so we can now maintain a more cost-effective premium for our insured. So it's a full cycle thing, isn't it?
Exactly. It sure is. You nailed it.
Can you provide an example of subrogation, or give me a glimpse, and you get a new subrogation task, and give me a glimpse of start to finish how it kind of works?
Sure. No, absolutely. So it is a drop everything, in a day like ours, when we may be working on preparing for a deposition, or we may be working on, any aspect of a subrogation case from the start of a fire and the investigation stage all the way through trial and judgment, if a case goes that far. We may be preparing for mediation. But when you get a new case, it is a drop everything and let's move immediately on taking action on that case. And so, for example, let's say, you have, you get a new case and there's a report that there's a fire at the insured's home, and the fire starts in the garage. and that's all you really know so far. So you immediately want to send out a cause and origin investigators to start doing the investigation and getting you some more details. And you get some, and while you're doing that, you're starting to gather information. You're reaching out to the adjuster, introducing yourself, finding out what information the adjuster has. You're reaching out to the insured, and we'll talk about that more in a bit, because I think that relationship is so critical when we talk about your guys' theme about communication and relationships. But starting to gather information from the insured on, you know, did they see the fire early on? Where did they see the fire early on? Those initial observations are critical to the investigation. And you start developing a theory. Okay, the expert may come back and say, oh, there was a vehicle in the insured's garage that caught fire. And so now we have a vehicle manufacturer we may be putting on notice and coordinating a joint examination, bringing in more specialized experts such as an engineer to help us narrow down what exactly is the cause of the fire. Is it a defect with the vehicle? Is it a service issue where we're going after a service company for doing something wrong? Is there alternative ignition sources in the area? You know, if the vehicle's parked right next to the tool bench, and the tool bench has, you know, three LiPo batteries charging for the insured's, you know, drones or remote control cars, and you know, can we rule those out as being potential ignition sources? So there's a lot that goes into this early investigation process, and we are mobilizing ourselves immediately to get the experts on the scene, get the right experts on the scene, and gather data and documents from the insured and adjuster to help start building this investigation.
So is there anybody else in that transaction that you're kind of building relationships with? Maybe the vendors or the engineering firms or such?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, you want to, you know, relationships matter so much in this industry for a couple different, you know, aspects. It's the relationships, obviously, with the client, because the insurance carrier and the subrospecialist side of the insurance carrier, you want them to build a relationship with you so they trust you and know essentially that their case is in good hands, and that you're going to be able to maximize the recovery or be able to determine the cause of the fire if it's at all possible. But then there's other relationships that matter too on the expert level. You know, we have to be well versed in who's who in the expert industry, because every loss carries a unique fact situation or a unique type of product or a unique type of construction issue, where you want to get the you know, best expert for that particular fact pattern. And so I'll give you an example. I was in a trial on a circuit board fire case. There's a product case, and the circuit board in the product caught fire. And when it came time for expert testimony, we have an expert testifying as to what caused the circuit board to fail. The defendant product manufacturer has an expert to testify who caused the product or what caused the fire, something other than their product usually. And so when our expert comes up and is able to talk about how he literally wrote the chapter in the, you know, scientific, like, you know, the accepted scientific journal on printed circuit boards, he wrote the chapter that, you know, the defense expert, you know, would have had to read and rely upon for his opinions. You know, it comes across to a jury in a battle of the expert case as, oh, okay, the plaintiffs really have the right expert. They have the smartest guy in the room on this topic. And that's what you want. And so building those relationships with experts is so critical. So we know as soon as a loss happens, okay, this is the expert I need for this particular case.
Wow, that is pretty intricate and detailed to know that you have to find the person that not only knows that field and industry, but has the pachance to come forward and say, hey, you know what? I know what I'm talking about.
Right, this is what I do.
Exactly. Love it. That's pretty awesome. So talk to me, and I know this might seem obvious, so I apologize if it sounds remedial in any way, but talk to me about how communication, effective communication, plays such a vital role in what you do.
Yeah, it's such a good question. I mean, you know, we come back to our theme, right? So subros made or broke in the first 48 hours of a loss. So communication is so important with everyone. We can't ever emphasize this enough. Everyone involved with a claim, we need to be communicating with. So it's the insured. So the insured knows our role and knows, you know, to make sure the area of origin is preserved, knows what we're doing with the investigation, shares what info they have to help. That the adjuster is the field adjuster, not just our subro client that we're reporting to, but the actual field adjuster on scene knows, you know, what we're doing and to protect the scene. that that's relayed to the remediation contractors, right, that the scene is being protected. So from the early investigation standpoint, communication is so critical. And especially, I think, with the insured, you know, I think we have to remember this is a traumatic event. So we're coming in, you know, boots on the ground, moving, you know, trying to determine what happened. And we always want to keep in mind that this was a traumatic event for our insured. We rely on them so much, and they're part of the process to help us, you know, figure out what caused the incident. But we also want to do it with a sense of kindness and care and acknowledgement that this is a traumatic event. They just had, you know, a lot of their memories maybe burned down. They've got to figure out where to live. They've got, you know, a ton of people contacting them. They're trying to figure out, you know, they still have a life outside of this event. That they're trying to, you know, move on with. And so we need their help, but we want to acknowledge that, you know, we're doing so, acknowledging the kind of the emotional circumstances they're going through.
That's beautiful. Beautiful, David, because you know, you're not looking at it as case 145X. You're looking at it as Tom and Linda Smith. You're seeing the people behind the policy, which is phenomenal, because when you humanize them, you know what I mean? We do the same thing on our side over here at Coterie. When you humanize them, you're bringing them into your world. You're bringing them into your family. And that's the kind of kit gloves that you're going to have when you're taking care of their specific tasks. So that's beautiful to know that you're even seeing that there. When you're getting a stack of papers, you know that you're humanizing these folks and doing the best you can for them. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so what if you have a young David Briscoe and you got to give him some advice, right? You got to tell him about this subrogation phenomenon before he steps into it. What kind of advice would you give to somebody who's looking to step into this awesome field that you have?
Sure. So a couple things. First and foremost, I'm going to give the same advice I give my kids, which is in any field you're going to do. Just whatever you do in life, just be passionate about what you do. Make it something you love to do, you know. And so the other advice that, you know, I would give is, you know, recognize too and appreciate that, you know, we're making a big difference here, both on a micro level and a macro level, right? On a micro level with an individual loss, we talked about it being a traumatic event for the homeowner. We're helping to figure out what caused that traumatic event. They want to know. They want answers. They want to hold the you know, third party responsible who caused this traumatic event. We're obviously helping our clients with their bottom line and financial goals of making a strong recovery. And then on a macro level, I mean, the whole subro industry is incentivizing companies to invest more in safety, right? Because they're being held financially accountable if they don't, if they cause an incident that causes damages. So that's my advice to, you know, a young David Briscoe is, be passionate about what you do. Recognize the impact you're having, because I think if you recognize that, you're gonna, you know, go all in and do everything it takes to, you know, maximize those recoveries and maximize your investigation process.
So you know what? If you have somebody who's listening to our podcast and they want to send a subro assignment over to you, David, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah. So, well, that's a really good question. So there's so many different ways. We kind of are pick your preference. You know, if they know me and or they know an attorney in our office, they're welcome to just send us an email with the basic claim information, and we're off and running with it. We also have on our website, if you go to cozen.com and click on the subrogation tab, there's a new loss link, and you just type it in right there. So you don't even have to know an attorney to email. But they're welcome to email me anytime. We get emails daily, and depending on what the loss is, we get the right attorney on it. Because just like we talked about before, how experts specialize in certain things, we will have attorneys specialize in particular types of losses.
And those relationships matters too. That's why you have that phenomenal network, right, across the nation, right, and then those different continents, Europe and Latam region too, making those connections, yep, and making sure those relationships matter. That's pretty awesome. Talk to me a little bit about Subro on the Go. How'd that get started?
Oh my gosh. So I appreciate that. We're so passionate about this, as you are with your podcast. You know, this was born out of what we saw as a need in this, I don't know what we're calling today, the COVID era, the post-COVID era, but I call it, you know, this work remote era, right, that we're in now. A lot of carriers were remote before COVID. And then, you know, during COVID, you know, if you weren't remote, you went remote. And so now many more are staying that way. And so we're seeing us, you know, not interacting in the office more and more. And I get it. I'm a proponent of that in many respects, where it's more efficient for me to, you know, not have to pay that $6, you know, and change a gallon for gas and drive 30 miles to work. But the subrogation industry dialogue is so important, right? We want to be able to walk into each other's offices constantly and say, I've got a new case. Here's what's going on. Here's my issue. What do you think? You know, and when you aren't in the office, you lose that dialogue. You lose that ability to roundtable and say, you know, how much do you think this case should settle for? How much do you think it's worth? And so we started trying to find ways to have more dialogue with our clients. Subro on the go is one of the, you know, different ways we started doing that, where we said, okay, clients are busy, they're remote, you know, they're out going for walks, or they're driving somewhere. How do we stay in touch with them when they're constantly on the go? And we said, let's create the podcast, which will be, you know, short, less than 20 minutes. They can get, you know, some subrogation information on a particular topic, and they can do it while they're on the go, you know, going to pick up the kids from school, going to, you know, going for a walk during the day, working on the, you know, elliptical at home, something like that. You know, so it was one of many things. We started doing Subro Zoom discussions with our clients, where we create a Zoom call, bring the whole team in, on board, and we just start talking about a certain topic for an hour. And it starts to break down those walls that are created when you work remote and you can't have that dialogue that you used to have when you're in the office. That's the whole goal. Let's have more dialogue. Let's talk more. Let's communicate more. Let's make ourselves available more.
There you go. There you go. That's pretty awesome. Once again, building those relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And networking. It's so interesting, this field, and I'm sure you see it day in, day out, how big and massive this field and industry is, but it's a small community. It's a small community of people, a small community of connections and such. I mean, working at different companies, even for my career, I've continued relationships with different vendors and such, and taking them throughout my career. So it's pretty awesome that that we were able to partnership and obviously have you on our podcast as well today.
It was such an honor. I appreciate you having me on. I will definitely pester you to be on mine at some point in the future when you have time. You've got a munchkin on the way, so you may not have time for some for a while, but it's been an honor. I appreciate your time.
Got it. Got it. Between diaper changes, I have no problem. I have no problem. I'll be there for you, David. Thanks so much for listening to And I Quote. This podcast, as always, is brought to you by Coterie Insurance. Coterie Insurance is simplifying small business insurance through agents, brokers, and partners just like you. Did you know that we offer an agent local page? You could find an agent page is perfect for small business owners to find agents just like you guys that are in your area. If you want to learn on how to get your agency on a local page, please click the link in our show notes below. Don't forget to click the subscribe button so you can be notified when you have a new episode of And I Quote. I am Brian Thomas, your co-host. We will see you next week.